Let's pull the brakes on the adrenaline train. Hello and welcome to this week's Urgent Bite, brought to you by the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose and today we take a look at how we can help manage our own stress levels when dealing with an emergency situation. When we face stressful and uncertain situations, it is natural to have certain physiological responses which can make our dealing with said situation more difficult. In addition to affecting the way we treat our patient, it can affect the way we reflect on our job, directly affecting our job satisfaction and performance. Learning ways to reduce the effects of these normal physiological responses will help us deliver better patient care and also help keep ourselves healthier and happier in what can be very uncertain and unpredictable workplaces. Hayden Drake is an intensive care paramedic who also holds a psychology degree. He teaches paramedic students at AUT ways to approach stressful situations in their line of work, so he's the perfect person to talk to.
Yeah, so the undergraduate paper that I'm the paper leader for is all based around resuscitation and dealing with those critically unwell patients. And that's stressful for anyone, and even having been an intensive care paramedic for quite a few years, still get those situations where things get a little bit out of control and anxiety level gets up there. So I have a talk to them about this, and it really got interested in this myself from a conference I went to a few years ago, and it was a retrieval physician, Dr. Cliff Reed, who's with Sydney HEMS. He gave a talk around this and kind of pointed out that a lot of the time when we're dealing with sort of critically unwell patients, sick patients, and things go badly, has less to do with the patient and the patient presentation, and quite often has more to do with either ourselves, the team and the people around us, their interactions, or the environment that we're working in, or sort of human factors stuff. And I really, that kind of resonated with me. My initial undergraduate degree was in psychology, so it was something I could really identify with.
So how do you approach then what are you telling yourself when you, or do you have a kind of a structure when you arrive at a stressful scene, or is it a case of identifying things within yourself as it goes on? Is it more of a fluid thing, or is it quite a rigid approach?
No, I think anything with those sort of dynamic environments that we find ourselves in, it's got to be a little bit fluid. As far as sort of thinking about yourself and how you react to things, it's important to acknowledge that stress has an effect on all of us, and sometimes it's hard to see that stress, but when our heart rate increases and we get that sort of anxiety response, which is very natural, we can lose that loss of our normal senses. So our peripheral vision narrows, we can get loss of cognitive function, so trying to remember information and also recall important information in a timely manner can be impacted. And our ability to take in all those senses, you know, whether it's auditory or sight, is affected. We can lose fine motor control, and there's a lot of deterioration in our cognitive performance. And this is very normal, and it happens to everybody to a degree. So I think recognizing that that's normal is the first step. There's a few things we can do to try and manage that in ourselves. And there was a guy called Mike Laurie, who used to be a special forces medic with the US military. He then left and became a flight paramedic and then went to med school. So he's a doctor now, and a good place to to think about those, working in austere, stressful, time critical environments, that, and combining that with medicine. And he came up with a nice, there's a paper in, with this I can give you the link to. Came up with an acronym, Beat the Stressful. The first part of Beat the Stress is B, so breathe. And that's around about doing that yoga breathing or meditation breathing, commonly known as box breathing. So taking that time to take a nice slow deep breath, slow breath in over 4 seconds, holding it there for 4 seconds before you breathe out over 4 seconds, holding it for 4 seconds again before repeating the cycle, and just doing that cycle 3 to 5 times can be enough to kind of get control of that autonomic stress reaction and kind of pull the brakes on that adrenaline train, so to speak, before it kind of gets out of control. He also talks about self-talk. So it's very common for me and most people. You have that negative voice in your head who kind of making you doubt yourself or your ability to deal with a situation, especially if it's a situation we're not used to dealing with on a daily basis. And anything that can come down to a lot of critically unwell patients that we might see, but just turning it around, and rather than having that negative voice, consciously just talking to ourselves and saying that we're competent and trained and able to manage and deal with this, sounds a little bit wishy-washy, but can help turn around our performance and actually improve how we perform. There's a psychologist, Dr. Amy Cuddy, who has done a great TED talk on this and body posture, and talks about fake it until you become it. So adopting that positive power pose of a confident person can actually change the sort of stress hormones and make us better able to deal with stress and perform, and less stress reactive. So that sort of comes into that too. The other part of Beat the Stressful is S for C, or mental rehearsal. That can come down to preparation. So that's those skills that we might not do on a regular basis. Mentally going through those skills and visualizing them can be just as powerful as physically doing those skills. And it engages the same neural networks that we use when we are physically performing them. And that works really well if you're using as much imagination as possible. So thinking about the feel, the color of things, the smells, and just trying to visualize it in as much detail as possible. Now, we can do that for practice, and it might be that you've got a sick patient in front of you and you need to perform this this intervention, and it's not something you do often, but you can just sort of run through it step by step in your mind before you go ahead and physically do it. And the last thing that Mike talks about with Beat the Stress Fall is the F for focus, with a trigger word. And quite often in our practice, and particularly for us as paramedics, I'm sure it's no different for you in the urgent care environment, we're dealing with sort of quite routine, regular presentations and situations. And then every now and again, in that sort of humdrum day, we have that critically unwell patient or that immediate situation that we have to deal with and step up to. So having a trigger word to kind of help bring our attention to focus can be quite useful. And those are sort of the most common things that I've come across when it comes to trying to get yourself under control to deal with the situation.
It's certainly true, isn't it, that in a stressful situation, time perception changes, and you might feel like you're going very slowly when actually you're not. And so taking those moments just to sort of center yourself and reorganize your thoughts and get that, I like your phrase, pulling the brakes on the adrenaline train, will pay dividends later on. You don't have to rush. The phrase I like is less haste and more speed. You don't need to rush in an emergency situation. You need to be methodical and think through your algorithms and your processes. And you can't do that if your brain's going at a million miles an hour because of all the adrenaline and everything. So yeah, just being aware that time, and you see it actually, don't you, when you observe people doing scenarios in simulation settings, they think as the person doing it that it went very slowly, but actually you observe that everything went at an appropriate speed, but the experience is very different to the reality sometimes.
Absolutely. Yeah, I see it in myself anytime I'm out in the road and on stressful jobs. I know my perception of time is just going to go out the window, so try and delegate timekeeping off to someone else, or just conscious they're going to lose track of those things. And teaching in that, and my paper in the degree, do a lot of simulation on a weekly basis with the students and put them into stressful situations with doing resuscitation, and can see universally it happens to them as well. It's just a very normal thing.
And you mentioned teamwork. It is, unless you are literally on your own, in an urgent care you'll have a team around you. You'll have hopefully at least one other person with you out in the field, and sharing tasks is important. And certainly we're taught on the ACLS that there is a leader who should be more hands-off and have the oversight. And then you can't do everything. One person can't do everything, and sharing the load is important. Teamwork in stressful situations is the old problem shared is a problem halved.
Absolutely. And it is a team. You can't manage really sick patients by yourself. It's got to take a team approach and a system approach. One thing I see often, and sometimes happens with myself as well, you get stressed and you feel like things are getting out of your control, and the way you react can be poor. So sometimes you'll see those people who are being snappy or a little bit abrasive. And you know, in that leadership role, and it's not that they're a bad person, it just might be that they're feeling that stress and pressure. And it's good to recognize that in yourself as well. So even if you are feeling like things are running away on you, gotta pull that in a little bit and try not to snap at people. I put it very simply, just don't be a dick.
Yeah, that's a phrase that can be applied to life in general.
Yeah.
Certainly it's a mantra I try to live by. And debriefing afterwards, do you routinely do it with your, like if you're working with somebody else on the next, driving to the next job, do you find that talking about it is a good way to debrief the scenario and learn from any issues that could have arisen?
Yeah, it's great doing simulation for that reason, because you've got that time to kind of sit down and have a proper debrief and talk and give it the attention that it needs. Out on the road when we're working on the ambulance, it's a little bit harder to manage that. And you touched on that a little bit with Luke when you're talking to him, but you can go from one job to the next. So it might be a very informal debrief while you're driving to the next job, just having a talk through things. It might be that it waits until you're back on station, having lunch or just getting a bit of a pause, have a cup of tea. Might wait till the next day, next shift, where you're checking off the vehicle and talking through what happened at the last job. So, yeah, I think having those, even if it's an informal debrief, is important. It's just when and where that happens can be a bit challenging and difficult.
It's also important for juniors and the less experienced that to hear you say that you feel stress in these environments, because there's, I guess, the person who is following the sort of techniques that you've talked about there, the person who has the experience, and that comes obviously with time, and you know, nobody can learn experience. You've got to live it. But those people look calm and collected, but it is like the swan cruising on the surface of the lake, that the legs are working hard. It's just that they are able to kind of mask that because they're doing these techniques. So if you're a junior and you see somebody in a arrest situation or something looking really calm, it's worth knowing that they're probably feeling the same emotions and the same kind of stress that you are. It's just they've learnt over time to manage it in that way. But it's totally normal to feel that way, and everybody does. It's really about how you address it.
Yeah, I love that analogy of the swan or duck on the water, and that's something I reinforce with my students, and just tell them I want them to be good ducks.
Yeah, and it helps to hear, I guess, in those debriefs, I guess a good mentor is somebody who says, yeah, I felt the same, and it helps for them to know, yeah, you know, that they're normal. These are normal feelings. You're not sort of born with ice veins, unless you're Neil Armstrong, I think, whose heart rate got to about 70 during the launch of the Apollo 11. But you know, there's a few freaks like that. But most of us actually get quite stressed with any emergency situation.
Yeah, and I think we're getting into a really good place in medicine, paramedicine, just in general, where we're able to acknowledge when we make mistakes and why, and yeah, acknowledging that when we're feeling stressed or feeling like things are out of control. And I think, yeah, as you said, you know, juniors really appreciate that and respect it.
Yeah, we're definitely moving away from that kind of idea that the people at the top are these kind of superheroes that are, and then if you're not like that, you're somehow a weakling. It's not acknowledging your flaws, acknowledging mistakes, learning from mistakes is important. There's no, you know, we aim for perfection, but we've got to realize that nobody is perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fabulous. So again, thank you, Hayden, for talking us through some approaches, and we'll put the links in the show notes to the various things that you've talked about there, because it's worth people looking into and finding their own ways of utilizing these tools to make the stressful situations less stressful on yourself, and ultimately better for your patient. They'll get better care if your head is in a better space, and it will also mean that you leave the scene of that stressful situation in a better state. You won't take it home necessarily with you, and it won't impact maybe on some of the other issues in our world at the moment, the burnout and those sorts of scenarios. So thank you for talking us through that. It's very appreciated.
No, once again, a great pleasure. Thank you for having me.
My thanks to Hayden for talking to our podcast. I've linked in the show notes to some of the information Hayden mentions. There is a YouTube lecture by Dr. Cliff Reed from Sydney HEMS, the TED Talk by Amy Cuddy, and the website for Dr. Mike Laurier, the Air Force paramedic turned ED doc. They're all worth watching or reading. I took a couple of important take-home ideas from our chat. The first is to remember to take a moment to focus on my thoughts and focus on my breathing when I feel the stress levels rise, much like the mindfulness techniques we have heard about previously on the podcast from Dr. Zoe Cruz. I'm also going to draw up a list of critical skills and tools that we do not use often, and make sure I run through scenarios and situations in which I might use them. Items like the emergency cricothyroidotomy kit or the intraosseous drill and so forth. Familiarising myself with these and running through scenarios, ideally with the team, or just as a scenario in my own mind, will mean that when the adrenaline is running, I'll hopefully be more prepared. Now, if you have any comments, questions, suggestions or corrections, email podcast@rnzcuc.org.nz. Next week is Christmas, but there will be some Christmas-related podcasts for you to hopefully enjoy over the festive period. I look forward to seeing you all then, but for now, Thanks for listening.